in school, in my last couple years of getting my bachelor's degree, my papers went from being 3 pages, which people go, oh, 3 pages, right? To literally 30 to 60. And that's just a bachelor's degree. So I'm like, if I can do 60 pages, I can do 150. If I can do 150, I can do 350, right? So writing a book was just to me like writing these large mass papers. And when I went in for my master's degree, they're like, yeah, we only need like 8 pages. I'm like, 8 pages, really?
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we've got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth, alive and well today, known as Podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed, my friends. That's right indeed, because today's wonderful guest, y'all, she's a best-selling bookcaster, y'all, so she's not only a wonderful author that met the minimum qualifications to be on a show, she's also a fellow podcast host, and even had two shows. One that was alive for a few years, and now she put that one to bed and started another one, and it's alive and kicking, y'all. That's right, kicking with both feet. And not only that, she's also an award-winning HR professional, which is a rarity for the show. We've had HR professionals, but I don't think they won stuff. So, yeah, that's also a bonus, too. And she's also a serial entrepreneur and transformational speaker. So let's give it up for the B to the N. We're not talking about Barnes & Noble, but we're talking about Brenda Nekavato. How you doing today, Brenda?
I'm awesome. You know what? You need to go on Twitter. You swear to God, you need to be my hype man. I love it. That is just awesome. We're going to just keep putting you out in front of everything that I do. That was fantastic. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. No sweats. Right, indeed. Here's one of the better parts of the show before the rabbit hole show up. Yeah, that's right indeed. You may end up in China. You may end up in Botswana. You never know. That's right. Don't worry. The name of the game is it all still leads north.
That's right. The path to success is never a straight line. And it's also never what you think it is.
Uh-huh. That's right indeed. You ask for bread. Out of nowhere, you get a donut. And when you bite into the donut, you wake up with a wig on your head and being like, hey, what kind of donut was that?
He asks for bread and you get a donut. That's awesome. Dude, I gotta keep my mascara on. I got like 3 more interviews today.
That's my goal, to make you reapply makeup. All right, cool.
Oh my gosh. Did I laugh? I cry when I laugh. It's starting already. I can feel it. Oh my gosh.
I didn't know that was gonna be one of my goals today, but hey, the name of the game is though, it's your first rodeo indeed. So did you imagine yourself being a serial entrepreneur and kick butt HR professional as a mini Brenda?
No, actually I never did. But you know what? Growing up, I knew I was going to be doing business of some kind. I was fascinated by it. I grew up in a highly industrial community, blue collar community in north of Steeltown in Pennsylvania, right? And my dad was a hospital administrator. My next door neighbor was the third generation Oldsmobile dealership owner. Yeah. It was father, grandfather started it, passed down to the dad, passed down to my neighbor, and now he's passed it down to his son, which he's working on passing it down to his kids, which is like unheard of. Yeah, exactly. So we know Oldsmobile is out, but you know, they did Pontiac, that's gone. So they're, you know, strictly GM and a couple other things. But yeah, it was just absolutely. So I was always surrounded by people doing business, and it was always fascinating to me. I always paid attention to it. You know, the Wall Street Journal showed up at our house every day, Monday through Friday. And, you know, when he got home, he read it from cover to cover every day. And so I never expected that I would be a serial entrepreneur, but I knew I was going to be doing business.
That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. Businesswoman, baby. That's right. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. It ain't just a briefcase. It's about dollars to make them holler. You'll love to see it. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So what got you into HR? Because if I'm not mistaken, then, so shoot, family business was selling cars. So I guess you were in the business too for a while, I guess, right?
Well, so actually, the first time I heard anything about human resources, I went, ew. And it was all about, you know, benefits administration. And I'm like, yeah, there's nothing that you're telling me right now that is remotely appealing. But it wasn't until I got into my third Fortune 500 company I was employed under that I actually started to see a very strong progressive, when we say human-centric type of leadership back then, it was all about building people up so everybody wins. And I'm like, hey, this is pretty good. And then how do we also work with all of the wide variety of regulations that we have to adhere to? How do we, you know, deal with and overcome the challenges? But at the same time, it's like, how do we help the people within the company get to the information? How do we help them work through their challenges that they can't jump over themselves, right? And that's what leadership is. Leadership is about helping people overcome objectives that they can't do on their own. So that's the piece of it that really got me humming, and I really liked it. And it's solving problems, and it's, you know, helping leaders figure out the things that they're looking at, and they're like, what am I missing, you know? And so I got really, really good at, I'm a natural born problem solver to begin with, so that was a really good fit. Over the last 21, 22 years, I mean, the field of HR has totally changed. It's nothing like what it was when I first started doing it. And so what I realized is that my focus has been more about human results rather than, I mean, I did wind up having to deal with a lot of the, like, all the rules and regulations that come with it and understanding employment law that comes with this. But it's always been, at the end of the day, of kind of recreating that experience that I had coming in and literally having my mind blown that, like, hey, if we build people up, skill set, confidence, clear vision, like, we deliver. And that's an amazing thing to experience. When you're in a leadership capacity or an influential capacity and people want to achieve X and then you guys do it, that's an amazing thing to experience, because you know as well as I do, you've been walking, you're now a veteran of this planet, right? You've adulted long enough to know that there's always going to be disruption to your success, always. So when you achieve something, it's such an amazing thing to experience. You celebrate it and you're like, okay, what's the next thing we got to get after? And then to be able to do it over and over and over again, that's winning. That's success.
Success indeed. You'll love to freaking see it indeed. You'll love to see it indeed. That's right indeed. HR, human results. Never heard that combination.
My business partner branded me that the other day. He's like, you know, it was really funny. He texted me out of nowhere. And he's like, you're no longer an HR professional. He says, you are a human results professional. And I went, oh, that's awesome.
Heck yeah.
And then I realized that's exactly what I've been doing. So thanks for that, Will. I appreciate it.
Woohoo!
There you go. I guess in this case, will do.
Right? Exactly. Mr. Will Do.
So my goodness, helping folks get results in their own wonderful careers. You also up to yourself to get some wonderful results. Became an author, so my goodness, a multiple time author, no less. So when you discover the confidence, realize, hey, I could put pen to paper and actually put some books out there.
Well, you know, that's funny is that I took the 20-year route when I went for my college degree because I wasn't really quite sure exactly what I wanted. And I'm like, I'm not going to spend a bunch of money and a bunch of time doing something I don't like. And so that's why I didn't have a problem taking a pause because I was still actively making money and learning how to do things, right? So you have the practical experience of real life out there, but then you have this, you know, you have a more academically focused, principle-based type of education when it comes to business. And you need both. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that say, well, you don't have to have both. Yeah. Well, you know what? If you want to be a very well-rounded individual, go to school. Because you're going, the process of going through something like a bachelor's degree, people don't have a bachelor's degree or master's degree, or whatever. Like, if they don't have a bachelor's degree, they don't understand what this is on the other side of it. Because number one, it's also an achievement. But also number two, there are things that you learn that you're not going to learn in real life. How, or you're going to learn the hard way. Or, and conversely, yeah, there are things that you're going to learn as a self-rising entrepreneur or self-rising business leader. But you know what? What you also learn in college is you learn to time collapse all of that. Where out in the world, it's like you guys spend a lot of time figuring out what the resources are. So when you go to school, they bring that stuff to you. You understand immediately coming out of an education a lot of the principles of what it is that you're going to be doing in whatever specialty. In my case, it was human resources, but it was also highly laden with leadership and business, right? Those things, three in my mind, go together. And so coming out, I just found myself to be in an extremely well-rounded background. And so, yeah, I didn't really worry too much about the time. And I'm not 100% sure if I just answered your question. So can you do me a favor and repeat it for me?
So the name of the game, she wants to be a whole ball, y'all. That's right, indeed. Don't go half-balling.
Yeah, I know, right? Doesn't work.
I guess pun intended in this case. So my goodness, so where'd you discover your confidence to write and publish books?
Thank you very much. All right, sorry. So I knew that. I was going somewhere with this. Anyway, so talk about being a veteran of life, right? So in school, in my last couple years of getting my bachelor's degree, my papers went from being 3 pages, which people go, oh, 3 pages, right? To literally 30 to 60. And that's just a bachelor's degree. So I'm like, if I can do 60 pages, I can do 150. If I can do 150, I can do 350, right? So writing a book was just to me like writing these large mass papers. And when I went in for my master's degree, they're like, yeah, we only need like 8 pages. I'm like, 8 pages, really? I got like three reports and 1 page in my bachelor's degree, right? So I knew that, you know, just writing is just writing. Just get out and write. And so I started putting books out with the intention of really capitalizing on a lot of the things that I've learned. So I have 9 in total. 3 of them have become bestsellers, and it's been the last 3. So I'm working on my next book that probably won't come out until about next year.
Ooh, any teasers on what to expect from it?
Yeah, it's on entitlement.
Ah, there we go. There we go. Entitlement indeed. See, that's right, folks. You're trying to go for that title. That's right indeed. It's got to be in you. Let me stop. Well, fun question for you then. Let's go with your wonderful current book that's out at the moment, Mission Ready, Building High-Performing Teams from the Battlefield to the Boardroom. So if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh my gosh, it's 100% nourishment. It's just all it is. And it's a leadership book So it was really kind of cool how it came about. So my business partner in this, his name is William Branham. He's a retired U.S. Navy SEAL. I've known Will now for 4 years. And we wrote this book about the things that we have learned, we've experienced, but it's all principle-based. It's not preference-based. And so you have to have these principles within your own leadership. So he comes from a elite organization, being a SEAL. And I look at my side of the book from the principles of leading people, like the people side of the business. And let's face it, people make it really complicated, right? Yeah, they make these, we make it challenging. And so, you know, Will is about very high level, not getting into the granular. I'm very much getting into the granular, because if you don't get into the granular when you need to get into the granular, you're not going to be as effective as that you want to be. And I don't think people really realize that coming from an HR position or a person who's been in human resources, that these principles they've been around a long time. And even with the shifts that we experience about, you know, people creating a little bit of havoc in the workplace, or people who are being disruptive, or people who are not buying into the vision, or people who quite frankly seem to like, these are the challenges, these are the pain points that I'm talking about, not the good side of leadership. I'm talking about the challenges, and you have to talk about the challenges. So I'm talking about people who are now thinking that they are entitled to get a certain wage without having the competencies or the experience or the capability of doing the job. Those are challenges. Those are all challenges that where we are today, we have to overcome. And what we don't solve is going to continue to go into the future, right? Where we don't get good at figuring out how to solve these things or have the right conversation. So, and it all 100% boils down to being able to set the right expectation.
Expectation, indeed, as I'm talking about. Love what you said there about principles over preferences, because it's like, shit, that's what I'm talking about. Aiden, combining both of your levels of expertise like that is freaking great, because, yeah, the HR world is like, yep, granular, baby. That's right, indeed. Solving problems, people problems, all the problems. Being Bob the Builder and repairer.
Right.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, so since you've been a fellow podcast host as well, always got to ask the obligatory magical question for those. So, what would you consider your top three lessons learned from starting, growing, and running your magical shows?
Oh, be consistent. That's the biggest thing. So, there's a couple of things. I think the two magic success formulas. First off, if you're going to do a show of any kind, doesn't matter what it is, right? Be consistent. And this is this thing about being a veteran of the world is like you had it and then it goes away. Be consistent. And it takes a long time, right, to build success. If you really want to have a knock it out of the park type of podcast, there's three things that you need to be able to do. And you just narrow down on one of them. Your podcast should be about something that makes people feel good and look good. All right. That's number one, because that's going to make money. Number two, a second one is going to be how to make more money. And I have an acquaintance of mine who literally is now in the top, like he literally just rang the bell, the number one podcast on Apple and iTunes on how to make money. And that's crazy. I've known the guy for a couple of years now, and I was so excited when I saw that he did it. He's been doing it less than a year. And the stuff that he talks about is absolutely spot on. And then the third is how to have better sex. It's those three things. And, you know, the big pain points of life. So if you're going to have, you're going to do a podcast, and if you want to have a really, really good show, number one, you're not going to catch lightning in a bottle every single episode. You're going to have episodes that you're going to be like, oh God, did that fall flat? And if you want to have a really great podcast, it's you have to grow it and you have to be 100% committed to it. And it's a long game strategy. It's not a short term thing.
Yep, it's true. It's true indeed. Definitely got to play the long game with it, because yeah, that's why so many folks pod fade, because they're like, oh yeah, shoot, I saw that Joe Rogan contract. All right, I could do that too. I could talk about stuff, be esoteric. Oh shoot, this is a lot of freaking work. All right, I got episode 1 out and episode 5, and oh god, this sucks. All right, I quit.
I know. I had a friend of mine who asked me about he started this podcast with a friend of his, and the two of them, when you sit and you listen to the two of them, they are freaking hilarious. Like, and so they called me and he says, listen, I need a really great, he said, I want you to listen to this and I need your help coming up with a title. And so I did. And I said, first off, I said, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I'm pretty sure you don't even have an agenda, but the stuff that you're saying is absolutely hilarious. So my recommendation is just call it an hour of stupidity, because people are going to absolutely dial in and listen to it. And so they did this for a little while. And then like the other guy's just like, meh, this is not interesting to me anymore. And it just died, you know, and it's just like, okay, you know, but I love the title, An Hour of Stupidity.
Hell yeah, because it's freaking hilarious. Like, you know what, shit, I'll check this out. He is a freaking good laugh. Like, count me in for this one. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, by goodness, my goodness, since you're all about helping folks with their pain points, probably had some in your own life that were major setbacks. So, has there been a major setback in your life or business that actually became a setup for your success?
Yeah, actually, there was. So, the first thing is that first one is that I learned how to really truly embrace failure for everything that it provided as an education. And I get super frustrated when things are not panning out. Like if the data tells me something and it's not happening, I don't think that there's something wrong with the data. I think there's something wrong with my action. And that was something that took me a long time to learn. So when I start getting that feeling, that is like my trigger. That's my little warning light for me that I'm not taking that action that I need. And then I go out and then I execute fiercely at that point. Like I take rapid, wild, crazy, off the charts action. And people are like, how do you get so many things done? And I said, because if I'm taking action, I don't let anything else get in my way. Because the frustration for me is more painful than the obstacles that I get to jump over and overcome. Right. So that's one of them. The other thing is that I was a later in life diagnosed dyslexic. I wasn't diagnosed until I was 32 years old. So I still to this day see the world a little bit differently than a lot of people, because I hear it through my different filter that I have. Right. I translate information a little bit differently. And I will hear people say something and I'll start laughing. They're like, what's so funny? And I'm like, dude, can you please repeat what you just said? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, that is absolutely what I not heard. I did not hear it that way at all. I heard, like, the same words weren't even there, right? And so, and a lot of people think it's funny. But it's something that I've had to learn, is that I used to bash myself for that because I couldn't understand why I was a square peg in a round hole on this planet. And then once I started understanding what it was that I was going through, I realized it was a superpower, because I didn't look at it as having a disability. I looked at it as having something very unique, because it granted me, because I had this, I had to develop certain coping mechanisms, right? So most dyslexics, when you study this, most dyslexics are very intuitive. They're very smart. They tend to be extremely articulate, because they always have to find this workaround. And so when I realized that I didn't have kryptonite, I actually had a cape, and I was able to really pour in and grab all of those things that were my strengths, instead of looking at it as having this poor me thing. I actually was excited the fact that I figured out what it was that I was always constantly up against. And then about 5 years after that, I really just started to use it to freaking dominate everything. And that's when I realized it was a superpower. It wasn't my kryptonite.
There you go. Certain date. You're like, oh, shoot, it's green. It's shiny. Ah! I'm like, oh, wait, it could be a cape. All right, good. All right, we back in business, y'all. That's right, indeed. She's like, we're going to take that S. All right, cool. Add some stitching here. All right, there we go. That looks like a B. There we go. Yeah. Got the B on the chest now. Watch out. I'm no longer a square peg in a round hole. I'm a trapezoid now.
On the whole damn board.
Even better. There you go. So they can have
that's
the trapezoid.
That's the whole damn game, man.
Yeah, there you go. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. If your life were a board game, what would it be?
Domination. It would be domination. Get out there and get what you want.
There you go. It'll be Brenda Opoli. That's right indeed. The little money bags. It'll be a mini Brenda face on the body of the.
It's like Thor's hammer or something like that.
Oh, babe. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you're going to wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh, if I was 25 again and there's the current year, holy crap, man, I would be putting 30% of everything that I earn and investing it every week. And you know what? I don't have a lot of regrets in life. Like when I make a decision, I am very clear on what I'm doing. And thankfully, I've always been that way. I have very few regrets in life. And there's some things that haven't panned out and I regret that those things didn't pan out as the plan, but I don't regret my decisions, right? I knew what I was doing in the moment when I made them. But the one thing that I actually do regret is not having the right mindset around money early in life. I didn't have a mindset of abundance. I had a mindset of scarcity. And so I wanted to go out and play. I wanted to go out and do things, but I was also extremely alone. And I've kind of always had kind of like a solo life for the most part. I only have just a couple of friends, but so I really didn't have like a lot of people where I had a lot of social interaction. That's how my life rolled out. And I don't regret it either, but I kind of wish I had more people in it. But what I wish I had done is that I wish I would have advocated for myself more financially at 25 than I actually did. And it, in doing so, even, you know, the age I'm at now, things are totally different. Future is completely different. So, yeah, if I was 25 today, I would be putting not 15%. I would be putting 30% of everything that I made away and putting it into investments.
Yeah, that's right indeed. One of the common trends of guests when they get that question and, yeah. Funny enough, you answer my past answer. It's like, hey, you won't be this broke always.
Well, see, that's the thing. Yeah, you will if you don't start taking command of your money. You can't do it yesterday, so do it today.
That's right, indeed. That's right, do it today. That's right, indeed. Do it today, Junior. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Today and forever. Kind of like that whole success squiggly line thing. It's like, hey, you got to do it today and keep it on for days on days on days in. That's right indeed. And I know folks need to keep up with you and all that you do for days and days in too. So for those who need to do just that and cop some copies of your magical books, what's the best way for folks to do so, Brenda?
Well, listen, I actually have a free gift for everybody that's listening. And if you are in a position to where you're constantly struggling with very difficult people, I actually have a free course that I give away, and there are three power scripts that I've learned that helps cut through the drama, helps people really, truly get to the heart of what's going on, and I call it impact scripts. And the best way that you can connect with me is if you go to my website at yobrenda.com, because it's a lot easier than spelling my last name. And it'll ask you to go ahead and put your name in. I'll ask you for, you know, your email. And then it'll ask you, like, what's the one thing that you heard in this podcast today that, like, totally wowed you? When you do that, you'll have instant access to the course. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. Quite a few people are taking it on a regular basis, and they are so helpful. These are three things that I still use to this day.
I'm talking about date. You'll love to see it in date. It's always good when folks still using their stuff, even if they've been doing it for years and years. And it's like, hey, that means it's tried and true, dangummit. That's right, indeed. It's like your favorite tool in the toolbox. You heard that right, folks. That's right, indeed. So that's a got shorter and cuter, y'all. Brenda's got gifts, y'all. Don't have to wait till Christmas. That's right. Head to the show notes and grab that gift, y'all, for that impact, indeed. That's right, indeed. And it don't even need to be a Hollywood script. It's impact script. It's a lot bigger. A lot bigger and better, indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop, Brenda?
No, I just really want to thank you so much for having me on. This has been an absolute blast. And yeah, this is fun.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.